but it's an NFC chip, which is in an acrylic nail that you glue on to your NAS. As a girlie who spends 99% of their time on the computer, I always want to have something nice when I'm typing away. But also, like, I'm at conferences, you know, you're on your phone all the time. And there was a lot of girls on crypto Twitter who were putting like NFC chips in their nails. And it was like a really fun concept. I started doing it about a year ago. And all my girlfriends were like, hey, I really want you to do that for me. I'm like, dude, it takes so long. Like, what? It's not scalable. And as soon as I think the word scalable, it's like, okay, how do we scale this?
Maybe it is scalable. Yeah.
Maybe it is. We just haven't thought about it yet.
Exactly. Because no one's ever injection molded a circuit board into an acrylic nail before. Because like you can damage the hardware. You can just, it's been a mess. It's been a beautiful mess. But we got it. And then we activated at SheFi in Istanbul, DevCon. We chipped over 250 people, I think, and had over 1,300 data points created in the first 3 days. To on the surface level, on the Web2 level, it will go to a profile created by Kiki World that has a connections to all your socials, but we added a Web3 element to it. So one, the activation that we did in Istanbul was that when you tapped it, that was an attestation to say that we met IRL. So this is actually stored off-chain by your private key and allows you to create a decentralized friends list that you can take between dApps. Whether that's Web2 or Web3, it creates a friends list that you own.
Welcome back to Zero Pod, a CC0 podcast about enjoying Ethereum. I'm your host, Tody Hawk. My co-host today is Prof. Werder, aka the Nounish Professor. And our guest today is the co-founder of Gossip Protocol and crypto Twitter legend, Winnie.eth. Welcome, Winnie. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here today, guys. As an avid Ethereum enjoyer, I am very much looking forward to this.
I love it. That's why I invited you. I'm like, this person really enjoys Ethereum. She'll be perfect for the pod. So one thing we like to do on this pod is always start out, you know, nouns. We're a nounish podcast, and nouns are people, places, and things. So we often like to start with the people and just sort of dig in a little bit and ask about your journey. I know you have kind of an interesting journey as compared to most in this space because you've got a background in both design and in development. So can you talk a little bit about that and also how you ended up in the crypto sphere?
I mean, for sure. I got into crypto just like a little bit back in 2017. I was an unpaid intern here in New York City, and I was doing fashion. So I was doing like wholesale merchandising for what I thought was like my dream job. And it's like, but it just turned out to not be. I was very lucky that I became a lot of friends. I became friends with a lot of people who are in New York, and they were doing mining. And I was like, wow, this is actually super interesting. And I was really falling out of love with the fashion industry at the time. So it just became something that I just kind of had like a slight interest in. There was nothing really that drew me in that much. Like, I didn't have a lot of money to invest. I was literally living off like, I want to say like $50 a week back then. And like, even like that was 6 years ago in New York, that's like not a lot, like post rent. I had done my second year of uni, gone and done a year abroad. And I was looking at like going back to either study fashion or study something else, maybe restart my degree. I was like, maybe I could be a marine biologist. Had no idea what I was going to get myself into. But I went back to the island that I'm from, which is actually a tax haven, so off of France. And I worked in offshore finance for a bit, and I did KYC and AML. And the fun fact about when you do AML when working for an offshore bank is that you are pretty much just facilitating money laundering. Like, there was one point of it where there was one client that I had to put through a $10 million yacht on his business account. And I went to the RM and I was like, what is this? And like, oh, it's a business expense. It's for entertaining clients. And I was like, I'm sat here making like pennies compared to a $10 million yacht. And he's not going to pay tax on that. Whereas I have to pay like the tax that I have to pay. I was like, this is so scuffed. So I spent like my mornings clearing whatever I had to clear for my job. And I spent the afternoons researching about crypto. And I just kind of like my hatred for this job and then my obsession with, you know, like it was like a very much like a spite fueled journey, I would say.
But I wonder how many of us ended up in crypto because of our hatred for the banks. Because mine was a very similar story.
So a lot of my journey into crypto is, I'm a very happy person. I like to consider myself a happy person, but so much of it is fueled by spite, and I kind of enjoy that. But I went back to uni because it turns out if I dropped out of uni, I would have to repay like my grant. And I was like, again, finance, can't freaking do this. So I went and finished my undergrad in fashion design, and I wrote my thesis on the symbiotic relationship between blockchain and the fashion industry for sustainability and transparency. And this was back in 2019. I was like 21 years old. I'd just been to a talk at London Fashion Week by Kerry Murphy, Maggie McDonnell, the Fabrican. And I was like, this is like where I kind of had like, oh, but this is it moment where it kind of clicked. Because I was 21 years old. I was vegan. I was, you know, going through the works at that point. And I just became really interested in like, oh, wow, this is like, I was like focused very much on the sustainability side of it for like, you know, supply chain. And it was just something that none of my peers were really researching at the time. And I wrote my thesis on it. Like that was like kind of the start. My professor was like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever read. And I was like, yeah, this was 5 years ago. And she's like, there isn't like anything to support it. I was like, of course there's nothing to support it. One, it's a thesis. And two, like, it's just the beginning. So out of spite, I applied to do a master's degree in computer science and business with this. I was like, I'm going to make this my whole life work. I'm going to dedicate so much time to proving this woman wrong. Can't even remember her name anymore, but I'm just like, I'm going to prove her wrong.
I can see the title of our podcast, Winnie.E, Succeeding Out of Spite. That'll be our title for today's.
So I ended up studying my master's and just like, I was building like an app at the time that was like peer-to-peer signing for students to get accommodation. So to kind of like get rid of estate agents, just because they, like student housing fees in the UK, especially, were absolutely ridiculous. I was like, why are we spending money to do like arbitrary tasks when we can just use permissionless protocols? And then
how did you learn to do that, Winnie? Did you just teach yourself or did you take some courses or?
Oh, just, I've been chronically online. I'm like the Tumblr, you know, the Tumblr indie princess to Twitter shit posting. That's crypto Twitter shit poster was just like an inevitable timeline for me. Like it was just written in my personal matrix. So
that was your second unpaid internship is what you're saying?
Yeah. I've just lived on the internet and just been fascinated by how, like, I was like, you know, one of those like quiet kids who just wanted to be on online. Like, you know, my first metaverse was Animal Crossing. So just grew up building. I've always been a builder, you know, hacking away at those trees and those rocks just to try and make something out of it. But yeah, I just started, just taught myself. I was just fascinated and just, you know, I really hated school and the like arbitrary way that we would learn things and like regurgitation, when it should be more from like, what can you build and then apply that to actually creating something. And I think just like, if you're just absorbing stuff and keeping and having that to yourself, then it just comes out in a paper. I'm like, that is just like the most, like, what are you learning for? So just, yeah, very much taught myself how to just do things. I'm a terrible coder, so bad. But the one skill that I really learned from doing all this was my ability to translate stuff from, you know, like being a human ENS, make the computer things readable to the average person. So there was one paper that I did, and I had an amazing professor when I did computer science. So there was one paper that I wrote was about like using Black Mirror to talk about like web architecture. And that's like a really basic thing. But when I spoke to him about it, he's like, no other student in your class would write about it from that perspective, because they were computer science students and you've come from fashion into computer science. There's a way that you see stuff differently through different mediums. And I was like, okay, cool. I like this. Let me see how I can turn that into a thing and like be able to communicate these concepts and make it human readable. And then
okay, you absolutely would have gotten an A in any class I ever taught. So just letting you know, because all of these papers sound amazing. And I would have been like, yes, please write that. And I can't wait to read it. So that's incredible.
So if you're watching, Nounish Professor students, if you're watching, this is Alpha. This is
there you
podcast
go.
Alpha.
You get a second master's with you.
Masters of Nouns. She'll be the first master of nouns. No.
I'm in. Say less. And then in 20, so I lost my app fell through in 2021 because of COVID, and like the student housing market went to absolute trash. So I was like that kind of point where I was like, do I do a PhD or do I just fuck off? Yeah. Do I just fuck off somewhere else? So I got rejected from my PhD and I was like, sod it. I'm moving to France. I applied to an accelerator in France. And also I was like so anti-Brexit and everything that had gone on. Like I'm all about like freedom of movement, especially through the EU. And that was just something that was just, when it comes to voting, being able to vote on things, I don't believe that the referendum was a very good thing for the UK, especially when you look at who voted for it to happen and then who it affected. And where I'm from, the island that I grew up on, where our relationship was dependent on the EU for our ability to live in Europe. But because of the way that it's under the king's reign, but not law, we weren't actually allowed to vote in the referendum. So like a lot of young people who grew up in a really secluded island who dreamed of living in France, in Spain, in Italy, in Europe, that just got taken away from us overnight. And I'm very passionate about that being taken away and my freedom of movement being removed. So moved to France, got accepted into the accelerator and into housing. And within a week, I was like, I'm moving to France. So, and then like the whole NFT bull run started. And then we founded Shilla in 2021. Which was when all the shit NFT projects were coming out, and we were like, "Hey, we need some sort of
some good ones, but mostly shit."
There was a couple good ones. There were a couple.
So it's like, how do we create a layer between, like, how do we leverage our reputations almost by creating this sort of DAO that does marketing and growth, but then vets projects just to kind of add like some sort of layer of security in between. And that's pretty much what the ethos of how Shilla was founded. And we just worked with some really great projects while we were there, like Genie, while I was there, like Genie.xyz, Poap. It was like projects like Poap that really allowed me to like fall in love with marketing and IRL marketing. Like we did like the first Poap treasure hunt in New York. And then when I left Shilla, I went to work. And I just don't want to answer all your questions with my journey.
Like, that's okay. This is great. I'm just listening and learning. I love it.
And then, yeah, we just did some really cool stuff and about like, you know, taking money that we'd made from, you know, consulting with projects and putting that back into artists and creating experiences for artists, like the trucks that we would do in Miami and in NFT NYC, just giving back to that, like making it the circular economy that it really should be instead of where everything just goes top up or bottom down. So that was like something that I just really fell in love with working in the ecosystem that way. And then in April of last year, of 2022, I moved on to this project and I did a BD for them called Figure Gut, which is just like a really art-focused project. Jess Wiseman, she's probably one of the greatest 3D artists I've ever seen in my entire life. And then again, that was just how do we create a brand crafted in the metaverse that is not terrifying to people? Like we are using this adorable IP. We're doing these activations that just make crypto look cute and fun. And like there was one activation that we did at ComplexCon that was with Coinbase, where we had like, it was like a little workshop kind of thing. We just created this respite for people because ComplexCon is a really intense conference. Just getting people to come and chill out and color in tote bags. They came for the art and they stayed for just to talk about what it was. It's like, wait, we can just sit here and color in a tote bag for free. And we're like, yeah, just come hang out with us. And then after about 5 minutes, they see the Coinbase brand and they're like, wait, this is crypto? And we're like, ah, we got
them. Ladies and gentlemen, we got them.
We got him. So that's just really my whole ethos. It's just like, how do we get this little sneaky and get him in? And then it hit him with the coin afterwards. But yeah, stuck with them for a bit. And then I've been there with them for about 18 months. And like they launched the NFT. It was peak bear market. So there was really not funds to like keep, like no matter how much a passion project it is, like, you know, girls got to pay rent at the end of the day.
Which project was this? I might have missed it when you were saying which one it was.
I'll send you the links.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And they just released their physical toy that all the holders get for free. And cool. like now, they're just doing amazing things. And it's really beautiful to see this childhood vision that they had come to life. So, and then, yeah, I took a break over the summer of the last year. And then I started working at Serotonin. So doing Web3 marketing, which has just been a really great journey. They worked with some incredible projects and just...
Including Nouns. We did a drop with Serotonin, actually, last year. Serotonin and who was the other project involved with that one?
Dopamine. Was it dopamine?
Dopamine, yeah. Dopamine and serotonin. Yeah, it was dopamine. Yeah, yeah.
That's a cool combination.
They did a merch drop at Art Basel, not this year, but last year for Nouns. Amazing. It's cool.
And then, yeah, like just a few months before I joined Sarah, I started Gossip, which I didn't really know what I wanted it to be. Like, I was like, do I create a gossip protocol? I just love them. When I first learned about gossip protocols, I thought it was just like, it was so fascinating. And again, you could apply it so heavily to human beings. Like when you said,
I wanted to actually double click on that because when I saw that name, I was like, oh my God, that's such a clever name. So maybe for anyone who's listening who's not familiar with the term gossip protocol from like a peer to peer computer, can you sort of explain that and the double entendre there for people?
Yeah. So a gossip protocol is just like a procedure or like a process in way that like peer to peer computers like communicate with each other based on the way that it spreads. So, you know, it's just like the way that distributed systems use peer-to-peer gossip to ensure that data is sent to like all members of a group, which is
And it's named after the real thing because that's how gossip spreads in an office or whatever, right?
Exactly. So it's, yeah, exactly. So when we started gossip, it was just like, yeah, I just thought that name was really great. And then just, it just applies to the same way that human beings communicate gossip and the same way that like we can do marketing in an IRL way. And I just thought that was really cool. So yeah, it is a bit of a double entendre. And some people are like, oh wait, so it's an Agile gossip protocol? And I was like, actually, no. I realized that also when I just moved away, because I was like, I wanted to make sure that I said the right thing. I literally just like Googled the right words and then it's like came up on the background. I just like totally dubbed myself in with like making sure I got the right definition for it there. But yes. So I wouldn't say that gossip is a marketing agency. I'd like to say that it is high impact activations. So yeah, it just, I was like, how do we, so one of the main things that I find in marketing, especially in this Web3 space, is that innovation stops when we meet each other. It's, we're building so many cool things. So originally what I wanted to do was like, how do, could I make like an aggregator that put like, you know, using Arweave and Lens and everything to just be able to, the way that we create content into media and turn it into like, just make an effortless way in which all these, like everything that we already use is communicating with each other instead of building something new. But as it kind of went on, I was like, I don't want to build anything new. And people are like, but that kind of, is that the antithesis of building? I'm like, no. How about we take the things
we're building, remember?
We're building. Always building. How do we take the things that we already use, make them work with other things that we're already using and get people to use them in the IRL? And get like real world use cases, because every time that we all meet up together, we just go to a happy hour. And that is just like so illogical in the fact that like, yeah, we're building for the real world and then we create all these projects and then we never use them in the real world, even when we're together. So like one of the first things that we did was, so we actually did like an activation before, but like Chipped is the main one that I'm working on at the moment, which is actually a product that comes out in a few weeks. So I have my little...
Meals are ready for you. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
That's awesome.
So Chipped is, it's one of as many things. So it's like, there's a couple of layers to it. There's obviously, it's, actually I should explain what it is on the service level first. And I did have it on because it fell off when I was out over the weekend. But it's an NFC chip, which is in an acrylic nail that you glue on to your NAS. As a girlie who spends 99% of their time on the computer, I always want to have something nice when I'm typing away. But also, like, I'm at conferences, you know, you're on your phone all the time. And there was a lot of girls on crypto Twitter who were putting like NFC chips in their nails. And it was like a really fun concept. I started doing it about a year ago. And all my girlfriends were like, hey, I really want you to do that for me. I'm like, dude, it takes so long. Like, what? It's not scalable. And as soon as I think the word scalable, it's like, okay, how do we scale this?
Maybe it is scalable.
Maybe it is. We just haven't thought about it yet.
Exactly. So I approached Kiki World, which is a decentralized beauty brand going through the A16Z crypto accelerator, because Yana is just an incredible like founder. She, I've never met a woman who just ships the way that she does. And it was me and LDF. We had a little brunch like at Mainnet in September, invited like a bunch of female founders. And she was the first one that showed up. And she's like, how do I work with you guys? And I was like, fun fact, I have a debt. Like, I want to do this. And she's
like, I thought you'd never ask.
Yeah, literally. Like, let's go. So she literally started on it the next day. And within about 6 to 8 weeks, we had a full working prototype, which was not this one. It was a pink one. I think it was like 30 original prototypes, because no one's ever injection molded a circuit board into an acrylic nail before, because like you can damage the hardware, it's been a mess. It's been a beautiful mess, but we got it. And then we activated at ShiFi in Istanbul, DevCon. We chipped over 250 people, I think, and had over 1,300 data points created in the first 3 days. And it wasn't just the girlies. That was the whole fun thing about it, was that like, it was me and Evan McMullen. So on the surface level, on the Web2 level, you can have, it's going to go to, when you do buy it, it will go to a profile created by Kiki World that has a connection to all your socials. But we added a Web3 element to it. So the activation that we did in Istanbul was that when you tapped it, it would create a schema using disco.xyz that was an attestation to say that we met IRL. So this is actually stored off-chain by your private key and allows you to create a decentralized friends list that you can take between layer two, between dApps. Whether that's Web2 or Web3, it creates a friends list that you own. So a lot of the time when we're dealing with, like, you know, how we interact with people online, we only want to see, like, I've got like 20,000 followers. I don't want that stuff going out to everybody all the time. Sometimes I want to tweet stuff just for like my friends who I genuinely know. And this is a way that we can actually create a schema, like, also, first of all, proof of Sybil, anti-Sybil, proof of humanity, proof that you've actually met someone. And like, you can't Sybil attack that. And it allows us to create...
It would take a lot of fingers to Sybil attack.
It would take fingers.
And it allows us to create just like a way that we can just actually own our friends list. So one of the main applications, like, you know, when you start, when you go onto Lens, when you go onto Hey, you and you don't have an algorithm set up for you, it's just like, hey, this is the Lens team. Well, this is the RV. I'm like, what does that mean to me when I sign up to a decentralized social media platform?
If I can even X is terrible for that. It's like, here, like, especially for people who are joining from crypto Twitter, because it always tries to make you follow all the local news. And it's like, I don't like anyone local. Like,
I don't care about that. Yeah.
Give me Winnie.eat.
I'm on Twitter. I don't want these local people.
Do I care about that? Or do I care about the guys that I hung out with till 6 in the morning at like this crypto event and don't even know their first names? Yes, absolutely. So it allows you to like bring that friends list that you met IRL, and you chose to not just like choose to share telegrams, you chose to exchange, you chose to like be friends with them on chain. So it's just that connection that is just so much deeper than what you just get by following each other or like forgetting to follow each other. It's just how we can take those IRL relationships to a second level.
So talk up a little bit about the nails. Like, are you doing different designs? Is it just like, you know what I'm thinking here.
So
we need noggles on nails is what I'm trying to say. Can we do that?
Yes.
This is all I need to know.
So I'm going to give you the alpha here. So the one thing that's really cool about Kiki is that it's a decentralized brand, so that it's co-curated with the audience and with everyone that's involved. So right now you can actually go to kiki.world/v/vote/chipped. And that allows you to vote on the colorways that we actually create. So that is just like the first one. So we have like 2 more days left of voting just on the regular colorways. So that ends on the 31st. But then from then, so this is the fun announcement of that's going to be announced in like the end of the week. But much like Optimism's We Love the Art, I want to co-curate with artists because there are so many artists out there who's like, it's cool to just see your art online. What about seeing your art on like something physical and then getting revenue share from that? So what I want to do is what we're doing as of like Thursday, Friday is creating an art contest in which you submit the art that you want to get made on to nails. And then the winning, and from that, there'll be a vote through the Kiki platform, and the winner will get their art made into nails. And then obviously naturally they get a share of the revenue. So they get their...
Is the art contest called Nailed It? No.
I'm not giving away that alpha yet. I haven't thought of it yet. It'll come to me in a dream. But it's coming out Friday. It's super exciting. And I just think it's like, you know, Chipped is a co-curation between Kiki World and Gossip. And then I wanted to get another layer to making it a co-curation with the audience.
I love that.
Yeah. That's super great. Cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, very excited.
One thing that I think is really interesting about something like this is that obviously it's a product that makes crypto more attractive and more approachable to, you know, women or people who want to wear nails, however they may represent themselves. Can you talk a little bit about that and the importance of, you know, making accessible ways for people to be onboarded to crypto?
100%. I mean, there are so many barriers to entry when it comes to this, and especially it's just confusion for a lot of people. And even especially people in crypto don't understand like what verifiable credentials are or DIDs. And a lot of people understood like what Disco was and how it worked, but they didn't understand kind of the why. And then it's always when you put something into a physical way, it just makes it so much easier for them to understand it. And my whole ethos is just kind of creating things in blockchain that are as unthreatening as possible. And like, what is less threatening than a manicure that is like, hey, tap my nail, and it attests to how you met. And you don't even have to use it to create an attestation. You can have it just go to your like Instagram account, but then everything, like the voting and everything, is still secured by Kiki and the back end that they're doing that is on chain. So it's your just the same way that we don't need to know how our phones work to be able to send a text message. It's like, you don't need to be able to understand how blockchain works when it comes to storing your data and building out systems. So it's about, yeah, literally putting blockchain. I also love the pun of putting blockchain into the hands of people, or like blockchain at your fingertips, because it's just, how do we make it fun? Like, I can, the marketing that I do on Twitter is very much, you know, appealing to the side of crypto DJs. I mean, like, this is cool. This is like using VCs and DIDs. And then on like LinkedIn, it's like talking about like social graphs and transferable social graphs. But then when I go to like TikTok and Instagram, I'm like, hey, this is a really cute, memorable way to share your information with people. So it's like, how do we take that into all of it? Like, how do we extrapolate it as far as we can go into these different dynamics and then bring it back in into one fun level product?
I love that. We had Dina on the show recently from Boys Club as well. And we talked about similar things. I saw in your bio that you're involved with Boys Club as well.
Yeah, very Boys Club adjacent, big fan.
Have you been to some of their events?
Oh, as many as I can get myself to.
Love it.
Yeah.
I've seen some photos of you heading to Boys Club and things like that, which is really
when
fun.
It comes to Boys Club, the fits sure. have to be like, like they're an investment when you are a fit to a Boys Club event. Yeah.
So you're already getting ready for Austin, is what you're saying?
Yes. Ooh. Oh, and everything in between.
Love it. Prop, I think I interrupted you there by mistake.
Are you heading to Denver? Okay. So will you be demoing some nails there? So we'll be able to check them out?
Oh, absolutely. So I hope you're doing an event, I think, with Enzo, which is essentially fashion app, which we're huge fans of. But because also on the side of gossip, I do activations through that. So there are a few activations that I'll be doing at East Denver that a lot of it will revolve around like IRL NFC chip based things, or just like chaotic activations for new app features and like that my friends are building. So just how do we, Chipped is like underneath gossip that allows, and then with gossip, I just do other fun IRL things. Yeah.
Prof is just trying to get on that list when you're giving out.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Pretty much. I just am dying to like see these in person. I want to check them out.
I'll send you one.
I'm like, oh my God, what is this? I need to understand this. This is so cool. So yeah, it's just right up my alley. I just love it. It's amazing.
I mean, I can send you one. Like, just send me your address. I'll get it in the post.
Okay. All right. Well, we're doing it.
Are there limitations to what can be sort of transmitted by NFC? I'm not super, up on the tech and whatnot. But is it possible to transfer crypto, for example, from one person to another? Is that too much bandwidth? Or
you can't do anything that's like chip to chip with it. But like, you can have it anything that can, like, it can go to like a URL link of anything. So right now, these are programmable outside of production, but the ones that will go to retail you won't be able to overwrite them. They will just go to like your social profiles. But then alongside that, again, with the activations, working with, projects that have like universal profiles, or they want to use it as like a scavenger hunt thing, like find me and it'll go to a PWA. Just like, how do you create these memorable connections? So there are two sides to how they can be used, but through the retail product, it's going to be Kiki profile, the profiles through the Kiki platform.
Very cool. Speaking of making connections, you spent most of this past week at Oasis on Chain in Nassau. Wondering if you can tell us a little bit about that event, which I found out about entirely too late.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty cool.
I found out about it too late. And I was like, guys, the return flight from like most of New York, it's like $200. Like, just pop on down. It was amazing. Like, Steph is such an incredible human being. And I remember we first started speaking about Oasis on Chain over the summer. And it was kind of like, you know, you're in a cocktail bar and like, oh, we could throw a conference. Like, we could do that. And luckily being
flash forward to the Netflix special Fire Festival now.
Yeah. Literally. No, it was fantastic. But yeah, the food was much better than Fire Festival. Let's put it that way.
But, so for those of us with like massive FOMO, what was it like? And what was the event like? And what was the sort of community like there?
the community down there was absolutely fantastic. And it was exactly the right kind of place where you can understand where crypto is really needed. So I think it was just really important to see, especially when we would all go out for dinner together. And I said, oh, do you take contactless? No, cash only. Some of our cards weren't working at the ATMs. My card was French. It got kicked, it got blocked. So if you look at like my transaction history from Winnie.eth from the past week, it is just sending like $20, $50 to people who had to, who either had cash or were paying for dinner. So it just really highlighted the importance of...
So money laundering, basically, right?
My favorite thing, you know? Hey, I have tax evasion as a birthright. So please don't edit that one out. I've been told I'm not paying from a tax haven because it's dangerous territory.
All joking. Well, she pays all her taxes. Please don't come after her. It's all good.
She doesn't know how she ended up on this podcast. She was probably added by a third party, et cetera.
That's exactly what, this is not a podcast. Mistakes were made in a podcast she didn't control.
I pay my taxes. I pay them to the French. So it's as painful as it is for me as it is for anyone. So, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, yeah, there's some really incredible conversations had by just great people who are really, like, you know, when you have a lot of conferences, especially, I'm going to say it, when you have conferences in New York City, you get the grifters. You get the people who are just there to share their products or, like, to have those conversations, get in the same room with someone. This was just fantastic group of builders who are really committed to building and rebuilding somewhere that was really terribly affected by our ecosystem and by the bad actors in our space. Speaking to, like, when we were in the car with taxi drivers and then, like, oh, what are you here for? We're like, oh, a crypto conference. And they're like, oh, that FTX BS. I'm like, no, we're like...
The good side.
We're the good side and we're trying to rebuild what happened and, like, the narrative around consumer crypto. It's just, you know, really important. Like, I think, Steph has some great quotes from the Forbes article that just went out about, you know, grassroots builders. And for me, like, the main important thing with what we're doing, and, like, this is a narrative that we need to really start, like, stop just saying it and actually start doing it. Like the crypto game came out today. And I think, yeah, it's really fun to be building these projects. But like the barrier to entry is always going to be money. When we're building in a system that is all about, that seems to only be about gambling and people only care about gambling, there's going to be a financial barrier to entry to that. There needs to be ways that we're looking at like identity and, you know, data in a way that's just not speculative. And we need to start having these conversations with the people that it matters for. You know, these frat boys who are trading shit coins, they're only going to care about shit coins because they don't actually, who don't need to be able to transfer money to, you know, their families offshore and to like different businesses. That this, what we want to build does not matter to them unless there's a financial incentive. So it's all about how are we building for people where it's not just about your financial incentive.
Yeah, I mean, as a rule, like speculation is a privilege of the fortunate, right? You can't afford to gamble away on meme coins, et cetera, when you're trying to feed your family or whatever else. So
exactly. And for like a lot of people getting, you know, freelancers, people who work in the Caribbean, people who work in, you know, other like less developed countries, getting paid can be so difficult for them. Like, you know, the intermediaries say you're trying to get paid through an intermediary, they'll take like 80% just because that's the only way for you to get your money into the country. And it's just so important. It's so, so important.
Our media collective, the Noun Square, we just launched an on-chain club last week called the Yellow Collective. And that's a big part of our goal is to like empower artists from all over the world and give them a way to interact with crypto that's not on that sort of speculative curve. You know, to give you an example, one of our artists from our community, Kimmy Duke, she did an open edition with us. And it ended up getting minted 14,000 times thanks to being shared by Base. And we were able to share creator rewards with her. And you know, we were able to send her one ETH. And to her, that was like a huge, you know, she was just so grateful. And to be able to allow people to actually help their families out by doing something that they love, enabled by crypto, that's how you onboard the next like billion people, not by getting them to, you know, shitcoins are fine and fun, whatever, but that's not how you onboard the next billion for sure.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like the biggest fear that we have with all of this is like, are we just banking the unbanked to add them as to another column in the P&L? And I just think that we need to lay foundations for what it means to,
good question,
like, you know, help developing countries.
What other events do you have like sort of on your roster coming up? I know you said you're going to be at ETH Denver. You mentioned Boys Club Brand New. Like, what do you have going on? Are you speaking anywhere? We want to make sure we amplify that, and I want to see you somewhere.
Prof wants to just sort of track you around and get as many free samples as possible.
Stalk you and just follow all the nail things. Yes, no.
Amazing. It's quite a busy week, quite a busy month, actually. So, but the one thing that I really enjoy is the fact that all the big crypto events and fashion weeks happen at the same time.
So is nobody talking to each other? Like, I wonder the same thing.
It's like exactly. The fashion world and crypto world don't even coordinate. It's weird.
I know, right? So gosh, there's New York Fashion Week coming up, which is where we are pretty much hard launching Chipped. So got a few panels for Fashion Week, which is really exciting. And then we also are collaborating with some two incredible artists. So Sam J and Una and a nail artist, George. So we're shipping them a bunch of nails that they are then going to program to go. I can't remember what they're programming it to, but they're going to create art on top of the nails. So, and that's going to then get auctioned off at London Fashion Week. And then in Milan, we're doing this activation for Digital Couture Week. So there will also be brands like Dior, Dolce & Gabbana, L'Oreal, and some other Web3 native brands. So shipping industry leaders and helping them understand the technology that we're building as well. And then after that, it's ETH Denver. So I'm hopping around, but staying mostly in New York for now, just to kind of like get everything sorted on this time zone. And then it's NFT Paris, and then it's Denver.
I was going to ask if you're going to Paris.
Paris and then Denver. Yeah.
I do live in Paris and got to hop back there for a little bit. But NFT Paris is going to be a really great event. I've been following what the boys have been doing there since its inception, and they've just done a really incredible job with highlighting the community. Like, it's France is, I know, like, despite the French, I love Paris.
Would you like us to cut that out in post as well?
Can we clip that? Because that was
fantastic. Us going on the timeline. I love the French. I love Paris. And I really do love the French as builders. And especially when it comes to crypto. So there's a really silly statistic, like 70% of protocols are based out of France. So, and there's some really great teams out there. You've got the Ledger team. You've got, just really big fan of the ecosystem that goes on there. And the conferences there are always, in my opinion, the best.
Like, don't you hold a Ledger related world record? That's what I heard.
Oh, something like that. They just keep giving me them. And I'm just like, cool. So they just become gifts for everyone. I'm like, you want a Ledger? You get a Ledger. Like, I'm a hardware maxi. I'm going to laugh the day that I finally do get hacked on like my hot wallet or something. Like, it's going to be funny, and I'm just going to have to take it, because it happens. Like, touch wood.
Hopefully not a $5 wrench attack at Paris.
Yeah. No. Going to get wrenched. But, and then what else have we got going on? NFT NYC, which unfortunately got to attend because it's on the calendar. Would I be attending the conference? No. Do I think there are a bunch of grifters? Yes. That's beside the point.
NFT NYC we've both been before for nouns. Yeah. And my takeaway from that is that, like, the actual conference itself, but the actual, if you find the right events to go to and you're with the right people, then it's great. Cause I mean, you get a chance to see people
100%. Will I be giving a man whose surname is Rich $1,500 for a ticket? Absolutely not. But
you never hold back. And that's what I love about her. I do have another question, though, before I turn it back over to you, Toti. Love on Leverage. Next season of Love on Leverage is coming up. Are you reappearing?
No. I do have a boyfriend now, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? Do you want to cut that in post?
No. That's okay. I am a huge fan of Unlonely. I always will be. So it was actually Gossip that helped produce the first activation with them, because they approached us being like, hey, we're releasing this new thing. We need some help with it, marketing. And I was like, say less. Let's hit the ground running with it. But no, that
friends,
was just...
friends of the show, by the way, Unlonely. We had Grace and Brian on ZeroPod 3 weeks ago. So
they're amazing. I should be seeing Brian in New York over the next few days, because he's just such – he's an absolute giggle. Like, he's – unhinged, and you get someone like me 100%. And Brian in the same room together.
He's fantastic.
It's a great time.
Yep. And I love Grace.
But to Prof's point, though, do you think they can recreate that magic? Because it was like lightning in a bottle a little bit in the first season.
I really hope they can. I know that their second activation that they tried to do didn't hit, but like the Love on the Leverage thing is just, it's really fun. It gets the DJs involved. It's one of those activations that you need money to kind of get involved in, but you also can just enjoy it without having to bet. And I think that's the important thing, is that you can just observe it and just, like, I was in Paris. I was staying up till 4 a.m. watching these shows because it was very entertaining. And it was at that point in the market where we really just needed something funny going on.
Yeah. To laugh at.
So it was that IV drip that we really needed for a couple of weeks.
We needed more love and less leverage at that point in the market.
Exactly, yeah. But I think they're going to do a great job. I'm really excited. They just put their tweet out today and it was a great response. I really hope that we have the same. I'll be supporting them no matter what. I'll be staying up till whatever hour to watch it. But yeah.
True friend. True. That's awesome. Oh. I mean, to be fair, with their last thing they tried to do, though, didn't Omega go under like right as they were launching it? Something like that happened. Like Omega was like, "See ya, we're out." And Brian's like, "What the hell?"
It was the day of, and I was like, "That is so comic. That it's so funny. That would only happen to like Brian."
Only Brian.
Like, that is the world being like.
The only thing I'm surprised by is that he didn't stay up all night coding a new Omega just to.
Actually, I'm surprised he didn't. Yeah, that's
so funny.
Unlonely Omega. That'd be great. Well, this is a Nounish pod, so we'd be remiss if we didn't ask. We always love to ask people from the outside looking in, what is your impression of the Nouns as a project? Obviously launched in 2021, among all those other projects that you talked about. Still standing, has been through a lot. What's your sort of sense of what Nouns is in our community from the outside?
Honestly, I think the Nouns are probably doing like treasury management the best way. Like, so many projects have so much money. And what like the Nouns are doing with the proposals and stuff, I think that's just exactly what this ecosystem needs, in a way that you actually build a strong community of builders and contributors instead of people like, this is something that I think BAYC should have done. Like, they have so much money and that they have so many, maybe it's because that the Nouns have actually like crypto natives who are actually capable of building things. And no, I think you guys are great. And they're just fun. I think like, it's just fun. Like, whenever I go to any conference, there's always something Nounish going on. And it's always just nice to see what's going on and run into someone.
Well, we're cooking up a little something for East Denver.
We bring the fun. That's right.
We bring the fun. We try anyway. We're cooking up a little something fun for East Denver. So maybe we'll give you the invite to that. Maybe you can swing by.
Sure. Very exciting.
Amazing. Last question, I guess, that we had here on here was just sort of what your outlook is for 2024. I'm curious. I know you're super entrenched in crypto Twitter, and as you mentioned, you went through the Tumblr to crypto shitposter pipeline, so you're well experienced in this stuff. What do you think is going to happen next for crypto in 2024?
My opinion on this changes like daily. So I think we're at that time where, gosh, what is my opinion today? Like, I could say something, I could say what my opinion is, and when the podcast comes out, I'm like, I don't believe in that anymore.
That reminds me, in a Nouns group chat earlier today, someone who had just delivered on a proposal, they did these giant noggles at a ski resort in Japan, and he posted someone's vote with reason from, I don't know, a year ago now, and who had said, I don't really think this is a great value for the debt. He posted it in the group chat, he's like, so do you still think this? And the person's response was hilarious. He was like, was that even me? Like, I don't even remember voting that. Like, I cringe at that, at reading old votes and reason, like an old Facebook status.
So. Oh, yeah, that's literally me so much. I have to, like, delete my tweets every couple of months because I'm like, God, I just let my brain just do that. I'm really optimistic for crypto this year. I'm really, really optimistic about it, especially for, like, consumer crypto and, you know, everything that's going on with the Superchain and barriers to entry. I just think there's some really good stuff going on.
We love the super chain around these parts.
We love your hat. I love the hat. Yeah, I love the sweater. You got the Danny Cole creature sweater going on there. I mean,
oh, nice. Fantastic.
Yeah. If you're ever feeling sad or having a bad day, just go outside wearing the creature sweater because everyone will be like, I love it. I love that. I love that. And you just get, you get the compliments. So it's a little life hack.
It's the same thing with noggles. Let me tell you. Same thing.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about sort of consumer crypto and like how that's getting to be a little bit more of a better environment in this year. One of the things I think that's sort of helping that is protocols like Farcaster and what's happening mm-hmm. with Frames and whatnot. I know you've spoken about Farcaster and being bullish on what's happening over there. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so as someone who works directly like in marketing and scaling and growth and, you know, communications, especially for dev-focused products, get on Farcaster. Like, especially when I'm like telling, like speaking to clients, like, oh, this is too much effort. I'm like, literally just take what you're posting on Twitter and post it on Farcaster. And you just don't have, like, for me, like a huge thing is like anti-Sybil. And one thing that I find really annoying is like when, you know, projects are like, oh, but like we have X hundred, like thousand followers on Twitter. And I'm like, you're telling me that in this ecosystem, you have 100,000 active followers that, and you have a token and those aren't bots. Are you telling me that like, you're not just kind of relying on a vanity metric to try and make it seem like your marketing is better than it is and you don't want to actually face the reality that you don't have that many users that aren't actually like real people? So get on Farcaster, find your real users, communicate with them. And you've also just got higher, like less barrier to entry to genuine KOLs within this space. Like, you know, I've got those who follow me on Farcaster, like really fantastic people who I really look up to who follow me on Farcaster, they follow me on Twitter. And you just cut down that barrier of being able to communicate with people who are genuinely interested in building in this space instead of people who are just here for WENT token. So
I think that's so true. Like I have probably three times as many followers on Twitter as on Farcaster, but the engagement you get on Farcaster is not only better, but also just more of it and makes a lot more sense. Because like you said, they're real people, they're real engaged people and they care about what you're posting. And yeah, if people haven't
smart.
Tried it yet. Also,
it's
I think
just a ton
it's
of builders
free too, right?
Yeah,
it's a $7 now.
No, I think it's free now. It's free for this month.
If you're in the US, it is free starting
huge.
Now.
Huge. Love that. That's amazing.
It's a good call out.
So now you can eat more easily on board.
Nice.
No
we
cost.
Love this.
Yeah, we love it. I mean, I obviously love Farcaster. I do a show on Unlonely all about Farcaster. So there you go. But I totally agree. You just connect better. And I think it is the builder mentality as well. It's people who are really, they're focusing on consumer crypto. They're focusing on the infrastructure. They're focusing on all those things that we find so important beyond just the financialization. So I think that's what makes it just a different type of ecosystem for sure. Definitely different from crypto Twitter. That's for sure.
Definitely.
a lot less dunking. Yeah.
A lot less dunking.
If people are listening in, Winnie, and they're interested in what you've been working on Gossip and on Chipped and you know French tax evasion, etc., where can they learn more?
On that note, they can't. I'm dipping. I'm going off the grid. I'm always on Twitter. The Gossip website should be out by tomorrow. I haven't finished that one yet, but there's chip.social. You can find me on Twitter, winnie.eth. Or on crypto, on anything that's a native platform, I'm just at Winnie with a Y, not with an IE. I do not own Winnie.eth with an IE. So we're going to talk about, you know, digital identity and human readable. It's Winnie with a Y. Yeah. So I'm always around. I'm chronically online.
Amazing. So. Winnie with a Y. Daddy. Love it. Well, thanks for taking the time to meet with us, and hopefully we'll connect with you in person at one of these events, these many events that you're doing this year. We'll be at a few of them, so hopefully we can connect and Prof can get her free nails, and then all of this will have been worth it.
I'd even pay. I'm excited. I don't need them free. I just
thank
want
so
them.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Right.
Thank
Bye.
You.
See you on chain.
Great to meet
see
you.
On chain.
Bye.